Hey guys, it's Sydney here. I just wanted to let you know you can check out dndice.co.uk for some really awesome dice. I just bought this acrylic alchemy set that I've been using a lot, and they're so pretty. It's nice to have something comforting, like nice dice to play with during such sad games. But yeah, make sure you check them out, and you can use the coupon code EncounterRoleplay for 5% off everything, and they really help keep our show going. So we'd really appreciate it if you go show them some love, and please enjoy the episode.
Hello everybody and welcome to Turncloaks, the Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition actual play podcast presented by Encounter Roleplay. My name is Will, I'm a D&D sex icon. I'll be your host and dungeon master for today as we return to a very somber and bleak episode of Turncloaks. And I say that because of recent events, and the word Turncloaks is synonymous with bleakness and sadness, but this one in particular is going to be even better, my friends. So let's go around the cast and crew, let's figure out who we are and who we are playing today. Let's start with Joseph. How you doing, my friend?
Very excited for the events we have, and by excited I mean the outlook is definitely bleak and terrifying, and this is going to be a heartbreaking episode. But anyways, I'm Joseph. I'll be playing Tam, who is the human ranger of the group. Headscarf on his head, rabbit foot at his belt, and his trusty companion Ari at his side.
And a box of tissues in his backpack.
Yes.
In his what?
Oh. Oh.
No, this is definitely a sad tissue situation.
Yeah. We might want to edit that.
we'll leave that for a blooper. We also have Josh with us tonight. Josh, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, nervous. This is going to be an interesting episode. I'm playing Luna. He is a human monk, and he's not in such good shape. We had a bit of a cacophony of explosions went off last episode, and we didn't come out of it so great. So yeah, it's all going
to
be fun.
You might have not come out of it the worst, and so that's something to celebrate.
Indeed.
Speaking of which, we have Alistair, aka Tall Squall. How you doing, Tall Squall?
Yeah, I've been preparing myself for just exactly how bad Alistair's going to take this, and with your lovely introduction, I think it's going to be worse. I play Alistair, who is our wood elf plague doctor, which is, in this low magic world, what we call a cleric of the grave. He normally wears a white crow's mask, which in our latest escapades he has not been wearing. And we're going to see how he takes all of this as it unfolds.
Absolutely. And last but not least, we have Sydney with us. How are you doing, Sydney?
I'm good. I have a lot of feelings, and I feel like I'm going to have a lot more feelings throughout this episode. So, I don't know. I'm just ready, I guess. Anyway, I'm Sydney, and I'm going to be playing Ari. She is a half-elf rogue.
Incredible. And here to give us today's recap is Josh. So, Josh, I'll ask you the question. What happened previously on Turncloaks?
Oh, God. Bad things happened. So, it started off okay. We were going on a bit of a heist. We were laying siege in a very sort of London gritty gangster sort of way. It wasn't sort of clean, sophisticated with swords and infiltration. It was a lot of people with, yeah, there was a bucket that we made an improv explosive device using fat and grease and sodium, and we made our sort of our bucket bomb, and it was transported, it was smuggled in. We were taken in essentially as prisoners, and everyone went in tooled up with pretty much sort of nails through boards and clubs. It was quite clearly going to be a brutal fight, but we weren't really sure how it was going to kick off, and it kicked off by Stony Tim leading us into Jasper Wick's office and going, yeah, I'm gonna kill you, aren't I, mate? And that was, and we were like, oh, okay, we're now in a fight. The fight went better for some than others. I may
terrible
have been
you.
Quite I was pretty badly injured, but finally we emerged sort of vaguely victorious. Jasper Wick has been grievously wounded, and Stony Tim has laid him unconscious, and everything was going well. But Ori ran out to see if she could activate the diversion to set off this grease bomb. And as we were heading there, as she was heading there, the bomb went off, and it did a lot of damage. It they'd been put near sort of a lot of alcohol and big explosion. And the last... the last we heard was as we were being dragged, wounded from the building that was on fire, that was charred. We found out that we weren't. I don't really know how to say this. We blown up a building that had people being held in it against their will that we didn't know about, and we suspect they might have been children.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, so the only one who currently knows this is Tam, and I guess Tam,
it's over to you, buddy.
Yeah.
Back to the studio with Tam. Yeah, excellent. Well, that's essentially what happened last time. Let's pick things up as you guys are in a fairly battered, wounded, beleaguered state, headed back from formerly what was Jasper Wick's compound and is now being taken over by Stony Tim, which is a burning building. And you guys are headed out of this burning building back to your safe house. And I believe it's Tam and Ori who are taking Alistair and Luna back.
So I guess once we would have gotten outside, Tam would have gone to Alistair and kind of like hoisted him up, taking an arm, put it around his shoulder, and kind of looped his other arm around his back to support him for the walk back to the safe house.
All right.
And Ari will be doing her best to support their weight, but she's really tiny, so it's probably pretty difficult for her to manage.
Yeah, in your current state as well, after the fight, you guys are probably quite tired, and the weight of Latu is going to be a bit of a heavy burden taking back all the way to the safe house with the two of you. But you will make it back, although the journey may be somewhat painful, more than just in the physical sense, I suppose, especially for Tam, who's dealing with the knowledge that he's just learned from Stony Tim. And as you arrive back at the safe house, you'll spot an elderly figure that Ori recognizes. He's wearing his priestly garb, and he's got kind eyes, and you recognize Father Elion from the Temple of the Old Emperor. He's standing at the entrance to your safe house. He appears to be knocking, or be in the process of that awkward long wait when someone doesn't answer that door, and waiting to knock again at an appropriately polite moment.
Who am I supporting then? Do I have Luna like on me?
Luna doesn't weigh a lot. Luna doesn't.
Yeah. Eat. So, I'll sort of like hobble over with him still under my arm, and walk up to Father Elion and just say, "Maybe help you."
Oh goodness. Oh. You're the young lady I ran into before, aren't you? Yes, I've been looking. Goodness gracious! Are your friends here all right?
No, we've been caught in somewhat of a fire, so we need to get inside and get cleaned up. And
right. Well, if there's been a fire, can I help?
No. It's not as bad as it seems. We just
He takes a one look over at, you know, Alistair and Luna, and the state that they're looking in, you know, pretty charred at the very least.
Goodness, it is my duty to help. Please let me clean their wounds, or at least let me help you take them in.
Yeah, she looks back at Alistair and sort of realizes that the person who always heals them needs a healer. So she says, all right, thank you. That's much appreciated.
More than welcome. Let's get inside here.
And he helps take everyone inside and will lay them down in comfortable positions and start rifling in his priestly robes. And he will bring out some healer's kit, essentially, And he will set to work immediately on Alistair. At first, he looks at Luna and goes to heal him, but then he realizes that most of the damage is superficial after Alistair's healing off him. And mostly it's just like he looks like he's really wounded because he's got char marks and, you know, he's unconscious. He's like, should be fine for now. Moves over towards Alistair and is going to begin to start healing him. As he does so, he looks up at Orion Tam and says, oh, I imagine you're wondering why I'm here. And he, as he's setting to work, he says, well, I, after I met you, a young lady, and the vials that you gave me at the temple, I had a look inside of one, and well, it didn't take a genius to realize that what was inside there was not medicine for sick children, so I decided to follow the name Dermish, which took me to a seraphim, kind woman. I told her what had happened, and, well, she told me to come here. So I did, and I've been waiting outside, but good lords, yeah, all of you seem to have gotten yourselves into a spot of trouble here. Might I be right in thinking this fire was not a natural cause?
No, but we know that it wasn't medicine. We found out about the time that we got the boxes, but we'd gotten ourselves wrapped up in something and we went back to the source to try and eliminate the problem in its entirety. And I promise we were going to come back and talk to you and tell you not to send it out. We told you we would come back in the morning, but we just had... We had to take care of some business.
He looks between the two of you and he nods, and I can see that you're telling the truth. I didn't come here with accusations. Merely I had questions. You need to know some answers. And well, if there's something I can do to help you in return, then I could tell when I met you that you were good people. The excuses about not sending them, well, they make a lot more sense now. Though all of that can wait, your friends here need help.
Yes.
Are there others in danger?
No, I don't think so. I think that everyone got out.
Good. That is good news indeed.
As Ori says that, Tam, who's just been standing kind of unresponsive, his eyes have just been glassed over, and the soot and dust on his cheeks has been worn away at some spots by little rivulets of tears, goes and sits at the table, quite literally shaking. His hand is white knuckles around the rabbit foot. Not everyone got out.
Oh, are you talking about Donovar? I'm sure we can find him. He can take care of himself, and everybody was running.
I don't know where he is. But there were others. And he looks at Alistair. They were... children. Next to the storeroom. Brother. You must know that what you've done is not your fault. No one, none of us could have known. And he just loses it and begins sobbing uncontrollably, hunches over on the table. Just shaking as the tears rock through his body.
Okay, Ari will come over and sort of kneel down in front of him and grab his face and say, Tamron, what are you talking about? You saw children there? How do you know this?
I didn't see them. Starny Tim said they were there. Jasper was keeping them. For whatever reason. Whether it was that sick sex trade or anything else. He could have been. And his eyes widen. Been using them for the vials. If they were mage children.
Alistair, who's been groggy. At first isn't sure if he's heard correctly. What? What? There were... He starts all but hyperventilating in his weakened state. Of course. Of course. Dermish said he was supplied all of the ingredients and said that the blood and the bob, if not handled carefully when mixed, were dangerous and made a violent reaction. My diversion, it must have set them off. If this was, well, of course it was, their storehouse for not just the vials, but for the ingredients and the blood. Oh God, the blood. And with that, his eyes can't help but go to Luna, who is a mage's daughter who is currently missing.
Luna, again, not really having been beaten quite heavily and then had sort of his life restored to him after being blown up as well. He's not in the greatest of... His body's giving him a lot of conflicting messages, and he doesn't seem to react. It's almost as if he hasn't heard, but he rolls his head slightly to look at Alistair, and there's just complete confusion on his face. It's almost as if he doesn't recognize who he's looking at. And doesn't actually have any reply. He just stares at Alistair.
We don't know anything. Let's not jump to conclusions.
Tamron, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure about this?
I only have the word of a criminal to go on, but I don't think he would lie. Not about this.
Father Elion says, "My children, I have no idea what's happened, who is hurt and who isn't hurt, but perhaps I could go check. It is my duty. If there are people wounded and injured there, I must get help."
Yes, and the fire, I'm sure, could have been seen. You could say you saw.
I believe I saw smoke in the sky, so yes, indeed. Perhaps it is best that I head off and return shortly with news.
Yes, if you please.
Of course.
Yeah, Tam walks over. I don't think we've been properly introduced yet, but the type of people you are dealing with, if you do not already know them, they will need a sign of familiarity. And he removes his headscarf and places it in his hand. Tell them that we sent you.
Of course, I can go where I please within this city. My status here gives me some immunity, but if I am dealing with some different types of people than I'm used to, then I thank you for this.
Alistair looks up for a moment, and if Stony Tim starts to get interesting or questioning, ask for a cup of tea. It will help.
Right. He looks towards Tam and Luna and says, "My name is Father Elion. Pleased to meet you. Now I'll be on my way. Best of luck to you."
Thank you. And to you.
He heads out of the safe house with great speed, despite his age.
Ari will be like continuously checking out the window to try and be the first one to see him whenever he does come back.
Tam stands facing the doorway for a moment, slowly turns around, and as he's walking to Alistair, puts a hand on Luna's shoulder and just looks at him, and his eyes are trying to communicate some sense of hope.
Without warning, he grabs hold of your hand. There's quite a lot of his own blood on his hand, and just with surprising strength, almost as if not giving you permission to walk away, he just holds on to you, not really seeing or aware of his surroundings at the moment.
Tim is a little bit taken aback at the moment, but squeezes it back and slowly pulls Luna towards him and wraps his other arm around him and just embraces him. We will find her.
While that is happening, Alistair will not meet Tam's eyes. And he gets up from where he was sitting, having his wounds tended to, and runs up the stairs. And you can hear a door close. Not slam, but certainly forcefully closed.
Ari will look over to Luna and Tam and say, "Do you think I should go talk to him? I don't think he should be by himself right now."
He craves solitude at the moment, but he needs to know that he's not alone. He will blame himself for what has happened.
Ari will go over to the kitchen and make him some tea or something like that, something hot, and bring it upstairs and just very lightly tap on the door and say, Alistair?
You don't get a reply, but the door is unlocked.
She'll sort of open it very, very slowly and just enough to get her hand through, and extends the mug out towards it and says, "I brought you some tea. If you want it, I can just leave it on the floor and walk out if you want."
I thought I was being so clever. And I realize now I was being weak. I was letting others and things do the job that I was trained to do. I walk with death. That is who I am. And I forgot that. I made friends and a family. Crows fly alone. Crows have one purpose. And you hear him shuffling, rustling through his bag.
Ari will come over at this point and set the drink down. What are you...
Alistair does have his mask on at this point. The crow mask is on.
She will come over to him and try and stop him from rustling through his bag and just calmly take one of his hands and say, "Listen, there is nothing wrong with trusting other people and relying on other people. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to be alone anymore, and you're not meant to be."
"You're right. It's not wrong. For you. Did you see my flock? We're called a murder for a reason. We sit alone. We sit at the table. We do our job. We don't rely on others. We give out mercy when necessary. I wanted a distraction. I wanted some way to keep all of you safe, a way so that we wouldn't have to face all those guards and risk your lives. It's not the way of the crow."
"Well, who says that every crow has to be the same and has to have this mentality? And you can't have that mentality anymore. You have a family, you have a brother, and you have Luna and his child and me. And We all did this together. No one stopped you. We all completely supported you, and we still do. Alistair, you did the best that you could with what you knew at the time.
And it wasn't good enough. People died. Children died. I heard what you said down there. You watched your 20 children that you raised die. You heard the slashing of their throats. Someone out there heard an explosion in the night as they prayed that their child would be returned to them. And that was because of me.
Alistair, you've got to understand, it's not just you anymore. It's because of all of us. We all helped assemble the bucket. We all took it down there. I caused a distraction. It's all of us. We all have a hand in it. And we can't blame ourselves for not knowing the darkness of this world. It's not our fault.
Do you forgive him?
Who?
The man. The man who held the knife, who ordered the soldiers, who slit your children's throat. Do you forgive him? Do you give him all these excuses? I thought not. And he goes back into his bag.
She just starts to walk away, and she gets to the door and turns around and says, "Knowing what I know now, I can understand it more, and I'm able to have empathy for him. And I know that you're saying all of these things because you want to push me away, and you want to push all of us away because you want to be alone, and you want nothing more than to just have all of us gone, apparently. But that's not going to happen, Alistair. We're not leaving you, and we're not going to let you be by yourself anymore. I know you say that's the way of the crow, but to us, you're Alistair. And we're not leaving." And then she'll start to walk out.
Alistair has his back to her, just still going through his bag.
As she actually bumps into Luna, who has probably dragged Tam upstairs, hand on the wall to steady himself, leaving blood wherever he goes. And he doesn't sort of actually block her path, but he looks at Ori and... If my daughter was in there, I need to ask something, and I need you to come with me. And he sort of, not roughly, but pushes past her and into Alistair's room.
She tries to stop him, like tries to grab his hand and say, "Luna, I don't think it's a good idea."
"It's not. I have to ask something. I just want to know one thing." And he stands sort of looking at Alistair's back. "Alistair, you are a friend, and you are a crow. And I know that you have trouble with identifying yourself sometimes, and I can understand what that's like. But I have a question for the crow. I want to know about pain. And this is my question. What would hurt more, to die in a moment in a great fire, or to die slowly, like cattle, never knowing if this was going to be the last day they came, never knowing if you were going to see your family again, every single moment haunting you, not asking you about morals, and I'm not asking you about blame. I'm asking you, putting yourself in that position, Would you rather be held and bled and eventually being sold like you were a fucking possession? Or would you just wish that it was over quickly? If that was the only choice you had, if everything else had been robbed of you, no morals, no judgment, no blame. I want an answer. As a medical professional, as someone who knows about suffering and pain, which would you choose?
You make a lovely assumption. You assume these children were chained to some wall, were in little cages, kept like rats. But you forget this world that we have. And you forget what they needed. Nice, healthy blood. I can tell you 10 ways. Things you can put in the food, water, cloth over the nose and mouth, for them to silently sleep, never know anything was ever taken from them, while the toys they were given and good food kept them healthy and whole. You like to assume, to make yourself feel better, that they were tortured. A mage child might not have had a loving father like you did. I'm sure if your daughter was there, she felt all those things because she was away from you. But many of these children, first time seeing a real shelter, real clothes, a real bed, regular meals. You don't keep cattle in prison if you want to have the prize at the county fair. You keep them whole and healthy, and happy and hydrated and fed. How many, as you look across our world, can say that? Dying in a fire is awful, by the way. Probably one of the most painful. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. As a medical professional, though, you see Alistair's eyes are just dead cold, that disconcerting ice blue. At least we have eliminated a vector for the plague, and turns back to away from you.
Ari storms out, shuts the door behind her, and runs down crying to Tamron.
You wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. Then I guess that is where we differ. Because if that is truly how you feel, and if I find out when he returns that my daughter was in that building, you will have a front row seat to the experience, I promise you. And not being able to find anything else to say, he is going to leave quietly. And he won't go downstairs. He's going to find somewhere quiet.
Let's cut to Ari and Tam.
Ari will turn around and slam the door, and the second she sees Tam standing there, just like fall apart, sobbing in his arms.
Yeah, he just wraps his arms around her and lets her just sob into his chest.
She finally looks up and she says, Tam, do you forgive? Do you forgive? Bandituel?
Kill, I think. You articulated it best. No, I don't forgive him, but I can begin to understand him. Hatred is an extremely powerful thing in this world, but a strength greater than that, a force that drives us all, is love. We would do anything for it. Even...
kill. Do you ever think about how it was a few days before he came back? Do you ever think about
you know, how we used to sit next to the fire and read stories out to the kids, and how Tanith could never decide to sit in my lap or yours.
I keep the memory of those children in our village with me wherever we go.
Tamra, do you think we made them happy?
I know we did. As happy as we could.
That's just Alistair was saying about how these kids, when they were being used for the vials, they were well fed and they were taken care of, and they never had a father, and now I feel like, what if maybe we just did the wrong thing, and maybe we shouldn't have even kept them. Maybe he's right, and they would have been happier somewhere else. And maybe we would have saved them if we didn't try and take over everything on our own.
I feel nothing but painful responsibility for what happened to them. And it breaks my heart to know that their lives were cut so short. But I also remember how we used to run with them, play games, sing songs. We had a family. It was taken from us. And now we have a new family. And I refuse to let that same thing happen again.
Me too. Me too.
Should get something to eat. You look a little more shaken than usual. Takes her downstairs and starts rummaging through the cabinets. The weight of the handkerchief against his chest that Alistair gave him just the day before is very prominent. And as he's taking things down from the cabinets, he has an idea. He lays the food out and on the table, takes it out, and in the stitching of his tunic, there are white threads that run around the perimeter. And he unfolds the handkerchief on the table and begins to delicately work one of them out until he's got a length of thread. He takes a needle that he could have picked up from Alistair before, or that's just laying around from one of his medicine bags, and begins stitching a white leaf into the handkerchief.
There's a knock on the door.
Ari will immediately jump up and run over to it and just automatically assume that it's Father Elion and open the door and come out and shut it behind her.
Before you see a little girl under the arm of the bulking figure of Donovar. Donovar is burnt. He has no hair anywhere on his skin, and he has one arm. The other appears to have been blown off. And he just collapses onto you as you open the door. And the little girl starts crying. And that's where we're going to end tonight's episode of Templars. Whew. Well, my friends, hopefully you guys enjoyed listening. Usual spiel. iTunes, all that stuff. You guys okay? On the cast, that was pretty intense. So, let's go around the cast and crew. What did we think of tonight's episode? How are we all feeling? Let's go to Joseph, first of all.
Oh, my goodness. This is... It's... rewarding and yet still very painful to do. Trying to keep everything organized mentally and just be in a state where you feel like you can move on is difficult, but we got to do it. So I'm just... Oh, just trying to come down from that. That is so taxing emotionally, but I feel this was a really great episode, so I enjoyed it. You can find me on Twitter at JosephIsNotFast. Thank you guys for listening.
Sydney.
Wow. Yeah. That was sad. All of that really sad.
Yeah,
heartbreaking. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it more later. You can find me everywhere, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, at Sydniak, and I'm also the Dungeon Master for Wonder Quest Podcast, which you can follow on Twitter, at Wonder Quest Pod.
Toll School.
Alistair's in a bad place. Yeah, I've never RP'd someone truly using words to be as hurtful as possible and drive someone away. And it's tough. It's really tough for me. But I think that's where Alistair is. I think it's true to where he is and who he is. I'm Tall Squall. You can find me all over social media at Tall Squall on Twitter, and there's links to all the other stuff that I do there. Let me know you found me on Turncloaks.
And Josh?
You can find me on Encounter Roleplay, doing Encounter Roleplay things, and I spit too soon, so catch me next time, because, yeah.
Absolutely. As for myself, follow Turncloaks at TurncloaksPod on Twitter. Follow Encounter Roleplay at EncounterRP. Tweet out one of these incredibly positive and happy 5-star reviews. Somber Tone I'm speaking in. Som and Disney fan leave superb beyond all other podcasts. Good lord. I listen to a lot of D&D podcasts, or start to and stop. Turncloaks is by far the best storytelling podcast I have been consumed by. I'm talking full immersion, sound effects, A+ acting. I was hooked from the backstory episodes. I love the depth of the stories, characters, and the towns and cities visited. Thank you so much, my friend, for leaving that review. I can promise you we are very happy to hear it, despite the bleak mood that we are in at the moment. It lifts our spirits, and that's why we do the show. So we really appreciate it, and that we can go to these dark, dark moments of you guys and come back on the other side. But we're going to come back next week for the next episode of Turncloaks. I hope you guys are ready for it. Whew! What's going to happen next, guys? I don't know. I have no idea what is going to happen next, and that is why it is so much fun to DM this podcast. Until next time, everybody, try not to show too many at once. We want to be a laughing when you do. Good night.
Good night, everyone.